Okay. Welcome to today's high content call. This is Lisa Minnini with Accelerate Associates, home of the Entrepreneurial Edge System. And you are listening to the high content call. Welcome to any new Success Circle members and, also of course to the existing Success Circle members. Don't want to leave you out of here. Let's see, we're going to get started, but before we do, I want to make sure that you have on your calendar all of our upcoming events. First of all, I want to share with you that we just launched a set of five-part video series called Get More Clients Now, and you can get your hands on those right away at www.getmoreclientsnowvideos.com. I'll repeat that. getmoreclientsnowvideos.com. Make sure you have the videos at the end.com. And those are ready to go. So all you have to do is register and you'll get those videos that come right directly to your laptop. So you can view those. Really great stuff, and we've had some Success Circle members that are featured on those videos as well. And who knows, maybe you'll be one of those featured in the future. The next Q&A call, the question and answer call, is scheduled for Tuesday, April 26th at 4:30. To the Success Circle members that are new, or if you're newer, remember those Q&A calls are for you. So if you have any question regarding your business that you don't want to discuss on the laser coaching call, maybe a group would be great. Come on the call and get your questions answered. Those are really great times where I can coach you through the process if you can make it into the live event. And what's helpful about that is you're not only helping, you know, your own question, getting your own question answered rather, but you're also helping the other Success Circle members. Also, I want to let you know about an upcoming event. So for those of you that are local Success Circle members, there's an event happening on Friday, May 6th, and it is sponsored by ION Strategic Partners. I will be speaking at that event. I will be doing the Seal the Deal 98% of the time. And I also have one of my esteemed colleagues, Tim Green of the Referral Institute of Michigan, who will also, by the way, be speaking at my Entrepreneurial Edge System 3-day intensive that's coming up in May. And he'll be speaking at that event about referral marketing. Fabulous, fabulous speaker. So you've got to be there to see him speak. And also a colleague, Michelangelo Caruso, will also be there. He's a national speaker as well. And he'll be, we're all speaking about different areas of growth strategies for your business. So again, that's ION Strategic Partner is the sponsor, and you can sign up for that at http://b-it.ly/thisisyourtime. So again, it's http://b-it.ly/thisisyourtime. And registration is available right now. So you can go ahead and register. Let's see what else. May 12th, 13th, and 14th is the Entrepreneurial Edge System 3-day intensive. So feel free to register for that, and you'll get more information on the videos as well. If you have not yet registered, make sure you do so. And again, that's May 12th, 13th, and 14th. And that again is being sponsored by Referral Institute of Michigan, Marketing Monsoon, ION Strategic, Ready Set Mail, MPCT Publishing Company, and Transform your social net worth. And so those are my my sponsors for that event. Now, that's important because we're going to be talking today about sponsorship, and today's segment of this high content call is the 7 steps to getting sponsors. So if you don't have a pen and paper, you might want to get one ready for when you are doing events that it would be helpful to have sponsors at. I'm also going to share with you today the 5 major secrets, the kind of the do's and the don'ts of sponsorship, things that I learned in my own, in getting sponsors for my events, and that I'm going to share with you. Also, the types of sponsorship, because there's different types of sponsorship, and how to really create that win-win-win situation among your sponsors, your guests, and your business. So it has to be a win on all sides for sponsorships to work. And also the meeting places that you might not even think about that are really hidden jewels for holding your events. And I'm going to also share with you more about that. A lot of entrepreneurs, when they're getting started, really make that mistake of relying on, for their events, just an event entrance fee, okay, otherwise known as a general ticket sale. So if you want to get into this event, you've got to register, and that's what's called a general ticket sale. Well, there are a lot of people that structure their different events, whether it's a speaking event or something that they do that's a collaborative event like we're doing with Ion Strategic. And in fact, sometimes you don't even charge an entrance fee, and you still bring in multiple revenue streams for your own business while creating really incredible value. And a lot of times what sponsors can do is they bring to the table a lot of different things. They can bring, get the word out in a really big way, especially if they have a big list that about your event. They can bring in traffic to your event. They can, what we call, get butts in seats. And so it's very helpful to have sponsors. And there are steps that you really need to think about as you get sponsors for your events. And I want to share those with you, too, as well as, the types of sponsors, so that you can think about when you decide to have a large event, what does that look like? What do you need to have sponsors? How do you get sponsors? Because they could really be helpful in a lot of ways, not only in getting the word out, but also in defraying some of the costs for having an event. That you can also raise money for that event, too. And so there's a lot of ways to do that. So let's get into the 7 steps for getting sponsors. And the first step that you want to take a look at is creating a fact sheet. And the fact sheet is the information about your company, because it's going to provide potential sponsors with enough information to decide whether or not that sponsoring your event is a good opportunity. And so you really want to describe what your company's about, what that event is about, who's going to be coming to that event, and describe very specifically. The reason for that is because sponsors are going to want to know, well, is this getting them in front of their target market? All right, so if your target market, for example, is, let's say your target market is small business owners, okay? So think about what other sponsors would have a vested interest in getting in front of small business owners, okay? So it's important initially to create that fact sheet so that when you do meet with your sponsors, ultimately when you eventually get them, they have something that they can assess whether or not they want to be part of that whole programming. The second thing to do is also to create a budget. You got to figure out how much funding you're going to need to put on your event. And the budget's going to kind of assess where it is that you're spending your money, what you're investing in the different options that you're going to have when you hold an event. And it's also going to be helpful later on to determine what kind of sponsors that you need. Okay? And sometimes you can get sponsors, again, to help defray the cost of having that event. So if you know you're going to have, let's say you're going to have a chocolate table, for example, a dessert table. You know, you might be able to get a sponsor for that dessert table and pay for that in exchange for maybe having their promotional items or something at that dessert table. But again, that comes a little bit later on. But again, you want to know exactly what your event entails. Are you having food? Are you having beverages? If so, there's a cost associated to that. And you might be able to get a sponsor to cover that cost, but it's nice to know upfront what those costs are. Number three, you want to determine your target audience. You want to determine your target audience. By clearly defining your audience, it's going to be easier for you to know which companies to partner with and whom to approach. All right, so if you know that, you know, your target market is small business owners, or maybe it's, financial planners, and you know, you're holding a special event for those financial planners, well, then you're going to want to know, you're going to want to then identify, you know, what does the event look like, so that you can present that later on to those financial planners who want to get, or those companies who want to get in front of those financial planners. So, again, upfront, determine who your target audience is. So, one, create a fact sheet. What does it look like? What does your company do? Two, create a budget. Find out all those things that really you're going to need to invest in to hold your event. And that could, again, also remember, you've got audio-visual equipment, you've got photocopying potentially, depending on if you're giving things out. You might be giving gift bags to people. If so, there's sponsorship opportunities there. You know, there's food and beverage, all of those things that are associated with putting on an event. Determining your target audience, who you're going to invite. And number four is to create a sponsorship proposal. Now, in your sponsorship proposal, there are going to be a variety of things that you put in there. You're going to put in what are the benefits. What are the benefits if a sponsor gets in touch, you know, engages in that? What are those benefits to doing that? They're going to get in front of how many people? How many people are you expecting? And based on how many people you're expecting, they also are going to want to see what is your marketing that you're going to be doing. Beyond just getting the sponsors, what's the marketing that you're going to be doing? So you have to have a marketing plan. Are you going to be doing press releases? Are you going to be doing radio announcements, television? Are you doing social media? What does that look like? So remember, when you're creating that proposal, your deliverables, those things you're going to deliver on to them to get the word out, not only about your event, but then that event is sponsored by them, it's got to be attractive to them. You know, how much radio play are they going to get? How many press releases are you going to put out there? All of those things are important to a sponsor, and they're going to be asking you about. So that needs to be part of that proposal. So it could be radio, could be television, could be social media, but be as specific as possible. How many? Now, at the event, what are you delivering on? What are some of those deliverables? Are they going to get a presentation in front of the group? If so, how long is that presentation? Can they have a PowerPoint with it? Or is it simply going to be, you know, a two-minute thing where they get up in front of people? And when they get in front of people, how, you know, what does that look like? Can they put a flyer someplace else in maybe the course material if you're having an event? All of those are going to be important. What about their sponsorship logo? Do they get links back to their website? Is it going to drive traffic back to their websites? What are the collateral materials? And once you figure out all of the different options that are available to you, you know, television, radio, press releases, social media, then you also need to think about deciphering those sponsorship levels, okay? So the greater exposure, the greater the TV media, the radio, the links back to their websites, and the bigger the exposure, of course, the bigger the package. And so those packages are typically called something. Now, they're not going to be called, oh, get the $10,000 package. You want to entice them with a different kind of a name. Might be something like a platinum package or a gold or bronze or silver package. And that's pretty common to use those types of things. Could be premium package, the ultimate package. Again, making sure that, you know, there's some similarities with the language that you're using. So, for example, don't use platinum for one and then premier for another. You know, if it's platinum, you're going to use the metals, the gold, the silver, the bronze. If you're going to use words like platinum and ultimate and, I'm sorry, ultimate or super or, you know, whatever you decide, make sure the names that you're using seem to make sense and are consistent. So, again, think about what's in it for them. They're going to also be interested to know how much exposure their company's getting in front of. If you're doing radio play, then they're going to want to know, are you getting in front of the people that are going to give you the in front of your target audience? So they're going to want to know what radio stations, what television stations, if you decide to do that. If you're doing social media, what kind of social media, how often are you going to do it? What does that look like? So you really do have to, you know, even though number four is to create a sponsorship proposal, that proposal really has to outline what it is they're going to get specifically. So, you know, you have to come in prepared. Now, with that, with the different levels, there's a lot of, there's many types of sponsorship that you can secure for your event. Now, you probably have heard of a lot of the multi-day cancer fundraising events. I'm sure if you haven't been to one, you probably have heard about it. And these events generally do have multiple sponsors on them. And the sponsors, and they typically get a lot of airplay from the media too, but those sponsors want to get in front of women who also want to be fit or have a product or service that is related to the event. So it's not uncommon that you see many fitness franchises, health-related products, products that serve cancer survivors or conquerors. And so think about the sponsors when you do have an event, who would want to get in front of those same people for your event. But also what you're giving in response or in return, okay, advertising, promotion of their products and services, okay? So again, making sure that you have all of those things listed in your proposal. Now, there's different types of sponsorships, and I want to go through those really quick. I mentioned a couple earlier. You can have a sponsor that's a sponsor of the entire event, where they get the greatest amount of exposure. You can have what's called in-kind sponsors, and they'll typically, in-kind sponsors, will typically give their products or services in exchange for maybe getting in front of your audience, maybe attending your event, maybe they give you a gift bag for the attendees, maybe they get a spot on your panel if you have a panel discussion as part of your agenda, maybe a logo placement, and a display table, you know, and of course, if your event is large enough, you can also sell sponsorship tables at the back of the room. So people are in the room at some point or maybe in a separate room at a breakout and they have a sponsorship table and they can display their wares or their information and, so, but in-kind sponsors specifically will give part of their services in exchange for the promotional items. And again, what happens is you usually trade the, you know, the cost of their services and the what they would have paid for a sponsorship. So instead of paying, let's say they gave you, oh, I don't know, $5,000 worth of copying and you got all your copying done at no cost, they picked it up, you would give them $5,000, you know, whatever your $5,000 sponsorship package is, and all the promotion that goes along with it. There's also specialty sponsors and, you know, that could even be they provide a special gift for all the attendees. So, like a lot of seminars now, when you do educational seminars, they have like a flash drive that they put everybody, all the speakers' presentations on. And so that would be more of a specialty sponsor. So they would literally pay for all of those jump drives, the flash drives, and they would purchase them with their name on it. And then you place the contents of the event on the flash drive. And so every attendee that attends, instead of, you know, carrying around this huge binder, instead they get a flash drive to take with them. Okay? So you can get sponsors to sponsor maybe a breakfast. You know, host a breakfast that you have for attendees that are from out of town, at lunch, a dinner, a dessert table, you know, again, allowing you as the host of the event to provide a much richer experience for the attendees because the sponsors have defrayed the cost. Or, you know, you can also offer sponsorship. Scholarships. So again, with sponsorships, it can defray actually the cost of your general sales ticket. So if you have a general sales ticket that you provide, the sponsorship, just simply from the sponsorships, can defray the cost of what that might, what the general ticket sale might be. So in-kind sponsors and specialty sponsors are a couple of other types of sponsors that you can get or that you can secure for your events. The fifth step to getting sponsors is to research prospective companies. Now, this is really important before even sending an inquiry, making an inquiry, is to really research who you want as a sponsor. Now, this probably, it's a better idea if you do this even a year in advance of your event. And the reason for that is because you want to cultivate a relationship with them. So very rarely do companies, unless it's a huge event, get involved in, you know, if it's a big company, very rarely will they actually sponsor an event unless there's a really compelling reason, especially if you don't have any relationship with them and you're trying to get a big company to sponsor your event. There's got to be a compelling reason they would do that. And absent that reason, and you know, especially if this is your first event, they'll want to see a track record, number one. Number two, you want to have a relationship with them, especially if you don't know them. So that's why I'm suggesting, you know, really research who you want your sponsors to be and develop that relationship ahead of time. So there's a lot of ways to do that. You can do a simple search on a search engine to find out what companies would want to get in front of your ideal, your audience that you're having this event for. Could be local media, advertising directories. There's a lot of ways to determine whether or not a sponsor would be a good fit for you. But researching it and making that list ahead of time is going to be really helpful in securing and creating that relationship with them. And, of course, that visibility with them is going to be important before asking them for the sponsorship. Number six, you want to also seek, once you do have that relationship, you want to seek what's called a discovery session. It could be, you know, some people call it a discovery session. It's just a meeting with them. So once you have your list of potential sponsors, you call each company and you find out who is responsible for buying sponsorships. Again, if you've done some relationship building ahead of time, you know who that is and you're keeping in contact with them anyway. Larger companies will typically have somebody who's dedicated to doing that. And, you know, somebody in a medium-sized company, that might be somebody in marketing or advertising or an advertising manager that handles some of the sponsorship decisions. In smaller companies, you're probably going to talk directly to the owner or the president. And again, they're going to want to see your proposal. They're going to want to see your fact sheet, you know, what the what, when, who, how kind of thing. What are the different packages? So they are going to ask you for that information. And number seven, when you do have that relationship with them, when you do show them what's going to happen, you want to negotiate an agreement and fulfill it, and that's number seven. When you've determined and they've selected the best package that meets their needs, you want to put it in writing in your detailed proposal. You want to make sure that in your proposal you have terms like payment, when is payment due, so their sponsorship, if they're purchasing a sponsorship, how are they going to pay for it? Any logo specifications, because people can, are obviously their logo is their brand. So they're going to be sensitive about how are you posting that brand? Where is it being posted? And so you want to make sure you have the ability to, when you execute that proposal, that you have the ability to do that as well. So, logo specifications, when do they pay, make it sure it's in writing, it's very detailed, it's clear, any signage. If you need things by certain dates, times, make sure you get the appropriate person who's responsible for it. There's nothing worse than having to chase people down just before your event to get certain things that should have gotten, you've gotten many, you know, months ago. So it's going to be important to do that. And again, that comes up too with, when I'm going to reveal some things, secrets, the five secret do's and don'ts of sponsorship, but, when you're creating that relationship with that sponsor, it's going to be really critical. What are those things that you're looking for in a sponsor? And when it comes time to execute, you know, and they're responsible for providing you with some things, you want to make sure that the person's going to be responsive, all right, that they have a vested interest in making sure everything goes off without a hitch. And that means getting you certain things when they said they were going to. So it's important to make sure if there's an outline of, you know, dates, that they sign it. Maybe it's in the agreement. And then when you are, as you're executing that agreement, okay, you're fulfilling that agreement, make sure, especially if your sponsors are attending your event, they get a little bit special treatment, okay? You want to make sure that you have somebody available that only deals with the sponsors, that greets them as they come up, that knows who's part of that sponsorship. You want to make sure that you also supply your sponsors with, you know, evidence that you really fulfilled their commitment. So as, you know, an advertisement is set to air on radio or television, or as you put something out there on social media or different things like that, that you actually let them know, you know, the advertisement aired on this date and this date and this date. So you have a way of checking, and they have a way of checking that you met, you know, that everybody, you met your commitments, and you did what you said you were going to do. And you can also do this too by taking photos at the event. So when you take photos at your event, make sure you're getting the sponsorship table. Okay? So if they sponsored your dessert table, you know, you also have a picture of their logo or whatever they had on that table. Okay? You can monitor media coverage with a Google Alert. You can sign up for Google Alerts. Just look for Google Alerts and sign up. Put the name of that company in the Google Alert, so every time something comes up with that company, you get alerted to it. And so your any media you put out there obviously is going to be alerted through the Google Alert. So an easy way for you to keep track. Let's see. You can also, many times a website, if you have the logos on a website, you can generate to see how many clicks there were, how many impressions, and you can estimate that back to the individual. Now, if you estimated the impressions, what's nice is if you hold an event year after year after year, then you can, as you develop more and more impressions on your website, you can use that in your future proposals to say, well, we generated over 100,000 impressions and, you know, or whatever that magic number is. And so they'll be able to gauge whether or not they want to participate in the future. So those are some helpful things to also know when you have sponsors, is not only are you going to have that, you know, negotiate the agreement and get them, but when you get them, you have to fulfill that agreement as well, and you want to make sure you keep them updated. So kind of who said it, just a quick note, and it could be just a simple email that just said, hey, I just wanted to let you know it aired here, and it, you know, this is what happened, and, you know, we did this at the event, and, you know, sometimes there are things that happen. And even the best laid plans, you know, there are, you know, things that, you know, you talk to the facility and you understood it was supposed to happen and something didn't happen. Maybe their display board didn't make it or whatever. But it's important to be true to them and to see what you could, you know, even do for them after the event. Now, it might be something that could be, you know, maybe if it's something that cannot be repaired during the event, okay, then maybe it's something that can be done after the event. Maybe all attendees receive a thank you note after the event. Again, it gives you additional exposure not only to get in touch with your attendees, but also to give exposure to your sponsors, again, even after the event. So these are just some ideas of ways to get sponsors, but ultimately, your very, very best way to get sponsors is to create that relationship ahead of time, because you want them to get to know you, you want to create excitement about an event, and you want to create that ahead of time. If you do it just like even 6 months before your event, they don't know who you are, you're less of a chance to secure a sponsor than if you had an ongoing relationship with them. So that's really key, especially in getting great sponsors. So again, let me just go through those steps. Number one, create a fact sheet and provide information about your company and about the event. Number two, create a budget. Figure out what you're spending it on, of those different areas, because you might be able to develop, when you create that budget, you might be able to develop certain sponsorship, right, packages that pay for that. You can, number three, determine your audience. Number four, create a sponsorship proposal that outlines the benefits and the deliverables. Okay. Number five was research your prospects, research your potential sponsors. Number six was seek a discovery session or a meeting with them. Number seven was to negotiate agreement and fulfillment. Okay, and fulfill that. Now let's briefly go through the five major secret do's and don'ts of sponsorship. The first one is define the likability of your sponsor. And from experience, this is a big one, because just like you do for your preferred client, okay, you get very specific about your preferred client. You want to be exact to attract, right? You want to be exact to attract your ideal client. Do you like them? You want that likability factor. Why? Because you're going to be working with your sponsors. Either they're going to be attending your event, or they're going to be supporting your event. So you do want that likability factor. And this becomes critically important. All right? Because, I mean, if you're working with somebody, for example, that's a highly critical individual, you know, nothing's going to make them happy. it's important to, you know, flush that out early on. Because after the event, they may be giving you all kinds of critical, you could have done this better and you could have done that better. And, you know, the question is, do you want to work with them again? And so up front, get to know who your sponsors are and do they have that likability factor? Okay. That's going to be really key. Number two, list. Distribution list. This is a biggie. Make sure that your sponsors have a distribution list. Because great to have a sponsor pay for something, but if they can't help get the word out to their distribution list because of maybe even some policy, they might be guarded against a policy, so then that might not work. They might be, there might be certain parameters around that policy. So again, that would have to be up front, and you'd want that in your proposal. But check out to see the distribution and what they are willing to do as a sponsor. But the distribution list is critically important, and simply by asking them, what's your distribution list? Do you have one? Because this is going to be important in getting the word out. The value is in the list. Number three, the third major secret do's and don'ts of sponsorship is commitment. Commitment. From experience, I can tell you that this is a big one. Make sure you outline clearly the responsibilities of a sponsor, what they are responsible for. So if you want them to send out to their distribution list certain things at certain times that needs to be in your proposal. It's got to be in writing. Make sure they're committed to that, too, and that they send you a copy of that to make sure it is done, if that's part of the arrangement. And usually with sponsorships, there is some sort of co-promotion. They'll help you get the word out about the event, and you help promote them as well at the event, even through different means as well. So again, that might go both ways, but you got to see if there's a mutual agreement there, mutual commitment. There's nothing worse than you creating, a sponsorship relationship, and then they don't fulfill their end of the bargain. They don't send out those emails. They don't do that, any of that, and then don't communicate with you. So, again, make sure that there's a high level of commitment and that they're willing to do those things that they said that they were going to do, especially if it relates to any marketing. Number four, you also want to debrief. And I mentioned this earlier, but, there's another advantage to debriefing your sponsorships on the outcome of the event, at the event, before, during, and after the event, actually. Before the event, hey, this is what we've done, this is the marketing we've done, this is our expectation, and again, far enough in advance. Then during the event, this is what we're doing, this is what we have planned, you have specific people that are assigned to the sponsors, again, they're VIPs. And then, of course, debrief after the event. And what went well, what would you change, even as far as surveying your sponsors. Why do you want to survey your sponsors? Well, because that's really key. When you survey your sponsors, what's nice about that is they're like, oh, wow, they really care about this. And being able to, honestly, being able to fix, if you can, if there was something that happened that you weren't aware of, then there's a time to fix that. Even if it's after the fact. Now, it's also helpful if you're going to have a recurring event, maybe an annual event, then having a debrief afterwards so that you can make improvements for the following year, make adjustments maybe to your sponsorship packages, and also bring them back. If they're a sponsor that you want to continually do business with, you want to bring them back. So briefing and debriefing before, during, and after is going to be an important part of the process of keeping sponsors. And the fifth kind of secret do and don't of sponsorship is to also is the execution. And I mentioned this a little earlier, but the execution and making sure that you lived up to your promises. Okay? So if there's any kind of a check sheet, a checklist, that's also helpful, just to go through that checklist with them. That also can be something that you might want to put in to a thank you note to let them know, this is what we did, and we're glad we're a sponsor, and thank you very much, and again, showing them that you care, and then also cultivating that relationship over the next year if it's an annual event or over whatever course of time. So they're not only hearing from you when there's an event coming, that you're also taking them to lunch or, breakfast or whatever, coffee, throughout the year. They're also hearing from you. So, list distribution, commitment, debrief, execution are kind of the secret do's and don'ts of sponsorship. One thing that you want to make sure that you do with sponsors is, again, treating them like the VIP that they are. I can't express enough how important that is, especially during the event. Now, what I also want to cover today, too, is the meeting places you would never even think of that are really hidden jewels for holding events. Now, I've had good places and I've had not so good places, but places that people don't even think about. You know, there are, you know, depending on if it's an educational seminar, there are a lot of extended or external learning campuses that different colleges have that they're willing to rent out. Those can be really hidden jewels because they have built-in, you know, PowerPoint presentation and facilities, and they're ready to go, okay? But you might look at some untraditional things. Could be a sponsorship. You know, a sponsor might have a facility that they're happy to host at. And they're happy to host it because they are able to get the word out about their company, because as part of the sponsorship, not only do they get to hold it at their facility, they get to attend your event, and they get maybe 5 minutes with the audience. So I know that the American Cancer Society has a place out in Southfield, and in Michigan here, and they like to get in front of any audiences, especially if it's an educational center. They rent out their facilities, and they're able to get in front of a lot of our audiences about some of their scholarship programs that they have through the American Cancer Society. So that works for them. You know, if you're let's say you're a chiropractor. You might want to go to have an event and partner with a yoga center, okay? Especially if you're looking for an event where it holds many people. And if you don't have the space, then think about going into a yoga center, you know, or a fitness center. Because, you know, those two things typically go hand in hand when you get chiropractors and fitness centers together. Or, you know, what if you're a fitness center and you don't have, you know, facilities, or, you know, maybe you do and you want to bring in somebody, a speaker, into your facility. You know, that's a great way. Or, you know, there's a lot of different ways. Maybe libraries. A lot of libraries have facilities with a meeting room where you can hold different conferences. Libraries are great places to hold different events, depending on how large. Now, some hotels, you know, sometimes your conference or your event is so big that you have to have it at, you know, a hotel or a conference center. And in those cases, that's where sponsorships really come in handy, because they help defray the cost of having it at some of those facilities. But again, think of some hidden places. So, for example, maybe you are holding an event for designers. Well, maybe IKEA or some places like that have meeting rooms that you can hold your event for your designers there. You know, what great place if they have a meeting room to hold it. I mean, in a, you know, you would never think of a furniture place, but it might be a conference area that would work for you. So, libraries, fitness centers, I mean, places that can hold large groups of people, sometimes when you go to investigate, and if it works for the both of you, there's a win-win there, and they get to be getting in front of, you know, they get to be in front of your audience as well. It works for them, and they're willing to have you come aboard and have you on their premises. So, think about those out-of-the-way places, or not out-of-the-way, but those places that you wouldn't think of holding an event that may actually have space available that's out of the norm, that's out of the traditional, that can actually even save you a whole lot of money because you're not spending it on rental space. And, you know, they're willing to do things maybe at, you know, for free or for very, very low cost. And in those cases, you can bring in a caterer, or, you know, again, have a sponsor, you know, a caterer sponsor, you know. So again, depending on your event, those are some ideas that you can do. So take a look at your strategic partners, those people that may have the same target audience that you do, and talk to them about different spaces that, that are, you know, you wouldn't even think of to have them. It could be a library. It could be, like I said, a fitness center, a yoga center, or something of that nature. Now, one of the other things that I do want to mention is you also want to check out a few things when you're looking at your venue. Free doesn't always mean it's the best venue. You want to check out sound. You want to check out audio and visual capabilities. You want to check out any outside noise. So even though you might have a great facility, let's say you do it at a fitness facility, but what you didn't realize is that even though you're going to be in a big room and you're going to have this really great speaker that comes in, well, next door, they're jamming out to Guns N' Roses. They're doing, you know, their fitness routine, and jamming out next door and giving your speaker, who is unable to even talk over some of that music. So what you want to do is when you do have a venue that may be untraditional, like not your traditional hotel or conference center, you want to really make sure that you have the appropriate audiovisual, that it is possible that you're not going to have something next door that's going to interrupt a speaker if you have a guest speaker or if you are the speaker. And you want to also make sure that if you have some of these untraditional places that you do hold your event, you want to make sure that you go there at the exact same time that your event is. You know, I can tell you that I held an event at a venue that was more of a public place, and it was so loud, even though the doors were closed and we were in an enclosed area, the outside noise was so loud, I was the speaker, and I ended up practically screaming the whole time because it was so loud on the outside, and there was no audio, there was no, you know, microphone. So that became problematic. And so I just want to say that make sure you have all of those details covered when you are checking out a meeting space and you do get sponsors, and you have some of these details covered, because that's going to be an important part of making sure that you get those sponsors back, number one, and that you also have a very successful event. So when people say, you know, gee, I really can't go big with my message because I just cannot afford to have a big event and bring on a lot of people. Well, there is another way, and that other way is to bring in sponsors and to cultivate relationships with sponsors and get people on board who are going to help you either market, defray the cost of something in the program, or somehow help you even with the meeting space. So here are some solutions in helping do that. So there you have it, the 7 steps to getting sponsors, the types of sponsorship, as well as some of the background secrets, do's and don'ts of sponsorship to make sure that it goes off without a hitch. I hope you enjoyed today's high content call. Just as a reminder, our Q&A call for the Success Circle is scheduled for Tuesday, April 26th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. These are all Eastern Times, by the way. We have May 6th coming up with the ION Strategic Partners. If you're in Michigan, you can attend their big event. I'll be speaking, as well as Tim Green from the Referral Institute of Michigan and Michael Angelo Caruso from the Edison House. Again, that's that registration on Friday, May 6th is http://bit.ly/thisisyourtime. Remember also to pick up your free videos, five-part video series that I just completed and launched, and you can get that at getmoreclientsnowvideos.com. That's getmoreclientsnowvideos.com. Let's see, was that it? And if you're not yet registered for the Entrepreneurial Edge System, again, feel free to register at entrepreneurialedgesystem.com. And I think that's it. We're done. And thank you so much for coming on the High Content Call. And please remember to email info@accelerateassociates.com your questions for the Q&A call. Again, info@accelerateassociates.com for the Q&A call. Thanks so much for attending today. And until next time, create a great life. Bye, everyone. Take care.